Hello and welcome to the first episode of The Loud Silence. It's a new adventure. I'm very excited to start it. And I thought the first episode should be a mini pod explaining what the podcast is going to be and what my ideas for it are, really. So essentially, the podcast was created because a few people suggested it to me. Have I ever considered doing a podcast? If you don't know who I am, my name is Amy. I am the founder of The Inclusive Class. You might have seen my social media on TikTok and Instagram. I am the mum of three children, two of which have additional needs, and I have just left my career as a Senko assistant in a mainstream school because my son is out of school. He's been out of school for about 8 months now. He has an EHCP and we have just had an EOTAS package confirmed, which, for those of you that don't know, is education other than at school. Essentially, the local authority could not find him a school place that could meet his needs. So throughout this journey, I have documented it on social media, and a lot of people have commented wanting to share their story as well, some of whom are also educators that have had to leave, or parents with other careers that have had to leave their jobs behind, essentially, because their children are out of school. So it was recommended to me and sort of suggested to me that maybe I should come up with a podcast where we can have all of those conversations, and I can have other families on, parents, maybe professionals on, to share those stories that don't see the light of day, and to hear from people that maybe don't have social media platforms. My social media is not massive, but it does reach enough people to sort of share my message and share my story. So essentially, what I want from this podcast is to meet with other families, to have conversations with parents, to let them share their stories. So if you're someone that has been through the EHCP process, or if you're in the process of an EHCP now, or thinking of doing that, you have a child with special educational needs or disabilities, and you're thinking of applying for an EHCP, or if you just want to generally have a chat about how hard life is, because it is hard, I would love to meet with people from all backgrounds, all walks of life, all professions, parents, carers, everyone. I want to hear your story. So if you've got a story that you want to share and you have felt silenced or felt like you can't share it up until this point, I would love to hear from you, and I would love to have you on my podcast. So now that we've discussed what the podcast is going to be about, I thought that I could start with giving you a little bit of information about me. So like I said, I have three children. My eldest, Layton, is 10. He has diagnoses of autism, ADHD, sensory processing disorder, PICA, and he is currently being assessed for ARFID. Then I have Arabella, who is 8. She is assumed neurotypical, but there are a few concerns in the background for me, that she could be on the spectrum, but high masking. And then I have Ronnie, who is 5, and he is awaiting assessment for autism. However, his primary need is most definitely ADHD. But where I am in my local area, you can't refer him for ADHD until the child is 6, and he's only just turned 5. So we're having him assessed for autism primarily because I do think that there is both at play. But definitely the ADHD is the more dominant need for him. So I was a Senko assistant up until the end of the school year, where I had to leave that position because Layton had been out of school since around January of this year, due to EBSA. So he had an EHCP in place that took us 2 years almost to get in place, and around January this year, which he was in year 5, his mental health just took a massive decline, and he just stopped being able to attend. I think that what happened for him was he is incredibly high masking, and I get this comment from so many people. So many parents comment and message me about their children that are high masking, and it's so difficult to get people to listen because it's difficult when you're in the school environment and they don't see what you're seeing. He was incredibly high masking, and I could see that as we were approaching the school. I could see this mask coming on, and he just became a different person when he walked through those school gates. But it got to the point where he was then exploding at home, which I know so many people will be familiar with. So essentially, he was just kind of overlooked within the school environment because he wasn't a behavioural concern. He wasn't... He just wanted to be invisible, really. And I know that I won't be alone in saying that. A lot of parents will have that with their children. He just wanted to be invisible, not be seen, not be heard. And it got to the point where, yeah, his mental health took such a rapid decline. And it kind of did build up over time. And we moved his school. But then it sort of crashed and burned very quickly after the Christmas holidays. And he's been out of school since then. We went to appeal for his EHCP Section I, obviously, because we felt that mainstream school was no longer appropriate for him. And ultimately, it's a long process and there's a lot to go into, but ultimately a school couldn't be found. And he now has an agreed IOTAS in place. However, the package of provision hasn't been agreed yet. So currently for September, he doesn't have anything in place. So because he was out of school for obviously such a long time, I kind of juggled. My work were absolutely incredible. They were so flexible with me. And my position in the school meant that I was out of the classroom, so I could work from home, which was helpful. They were so difficult trying to juggle being with him at home, being at, you know, at home working, and then being at work, at school working as well. So myself and my husband kind of had to juggle it. So whenever he was off, like when he had his days off, or if he was on, he does shift work. So if he was late, then I could go into work in the morning and vice versa. And we kind of juggled that for the whole of the school year from January, basically. But it was always, our tribunal was due to be in July. So it was always with the thought that by September he would be in his new school placement and it would all be, you know, it would all sort of correct itself and it would all be fine. However, as we got towards the end of the school year and we knew that there was no school place for him, we knew that something had to give, basically, because I couldn't keep juggling all of that. Ronnie was in reception last year. His needs were coming out more and more. And it just became too much of juggling act, became too much of a struggle. And it just got to the point where I was like, we can't do it anymore. This can't be a really long-term thing. I can't give my all to him, but I also can't give my all to children that I'm supporting in school because I'm always, half of my brain is always here. So it was a really, really tough decision. And I absolutely loved my job. I loved supporting families, which is why I then set up the Inclusive Class, which is an independent advocacy service. So I can support families through the EHCP process from the point at which you are looking to apply for an EHCP all the way up until tribunal. So I'm currently working with a few clients at the moment. The main requests that I've had at the moment have been around draft EHCPs. So checking those, make sure that the wording is legally enforceable, specific, it's quantified. You've got all of your professional recommendations in there. That seems to be the main thing that people are looking for at the moment. But like I say, I can support you with anything from the point at which you're looking to apply for your EHCP. So that's where I'm at the moment. I do also have an Etsy store as well, where I sell inclusive prints and also communication aids. So I make communication boards, social stories, visual timelines, all of those kinds of things using widget. And then they're all uploaded onto my Etsy store. And then they are, you purchase them and download them immediately, basically. So you can print them as many times as you want, but they're available to download immediately. So you haven't got to wait for me to make them and then post them out to you or anything like that. So those are the kind of things that I'm doing at the moment. I'm obviously also really focusing on social media content and really trying to put as much education out there for people, including this podcast, to try and make more families and more parents aware of their rights, aware of everything to do with EHCPs, because so often, if you're not from an education background, you don't know all of these things. You don't know what your child's entitled to. You don't know your legal rights. A lot of parents even don't know what an EHCP is, let alone the fact that their child might be entitled to one. And unless you have a really good school that is really pushing you to understand these things and helping you to navigate that process, it's really, really difficult. Even for me, as someone that worked within that system and did that on a daily basis, it's still taken me 2 years to get to the point that I'm at now. The system's just so very broken. And I think the more we can do to raise awareness and the more we can do to educate ourselves on how the process works, what we're legally entitled to, and all of those things, the better, because there are so many families out there that just don't know that. So going forward, if you do need, obviously, if you do need independent advocacy support, you can reach out to me on TikTok, Instagram. The link to my website is in my bio. My handle on both is The Inclusive Class. And I am so looking forward to making more podcasts, and I would love, love, love to have some guests on. So if you are a parent or a professional that has a story that has been kept in silence for a long time that you would like to share, I would love to hear from you. You can either comment on my social media platforms, or you can reach out to me via my website, by email. There's a link on my website to email me. I would absolutely love to hear from you and love to hear your feedback for this first mini pod, and can't wait to hear all of your stories really, really soon.